Start first of all by adjusting your motivation, thinking that you are here on this occasion to listen to this most profound and extensive teachings of the Mahayana. And the reason why you came here to listen to this teaching is because you aspire to be able to benefit sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past are experiencing various types of suffering and are as vast as the vastness of space. For their sake, you aspire to reach this very precious state of perfect and complete enlightenment, a state that is characterized by the full development of all qualities and the total elimination of all negativity. With this particular thought in your mind, please adjust your motivation.
And you should not do them, but you see, you did, sounds a critical good on you, you know, there must be some of you doing. Forget that you're not choosy, but you that did, you didn't jump on you, no more done, and my do, two are done, so I know you. What you that choose, you did, you run on so soon, some duty, you do, don't you have it? You will some duty, you did that, but that you're not so much, you are ready, some you good dinner. ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ་པ་སེན་ན་ད་སམ་ཅི་གོ་དེན་ན་ཅུང་ཅི་རུ་མང་པོ་ཅི་ཡོ་ཡན་དུ་སམ་ཅི་དེ་ཅུང་ཅི་རུ་གོ་ཧོང་ཅི་ན་བོ་ཅི་དེ་བ་ཨོ་དེ་དེ་ཧོང་ཅི་དེ་ལི་མ་ར་ཐ་རི་ཨ་གི་ཅི་དེ་དེ་ཅུ་ཅི་མང་པོ་ཅི་དང་གོ་གོ་ཡོ་བ་རི་ཨོ་དེ་དེ་ཅུ་ཅི་དང་བོ་ཐབ་དེ་ལ་ཅུ་ཅི་རུ་མ་པ་དང་བོ་རུ་མ་ཉི་བ་རུ་མ་སམ་པ་ཅི་མ་ར་རུ
Tibetan word chö. And it is said by the protector Maitreya that Dharma actually is the one that has the power to bring about the transformation in the mind. It's the one that has the power to oppose negativity in the mind. When we examine our minds, we can see that quite often the mind can fall under the influence of afflictions, of negative thoughts. There can be bad moments in our minds, you know, bad aspects of our character can become manifest. But Dharma is the one that has enough power, enough potency to churn, to turn around the mind so that a development and a phase of transformation can happen.
Or you that in the Yambayan do that in the Gamara, you some jerky tongue, you really did a murder, chuba, the song, we were. That chuba, 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 tama, chuba, or you that cut them by the mother's marathon, or you that chuba, 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 tama, chuba, or you that rubsy, or you that chuba, rubsy, you did that, don't put Ramney, you are in that. ajun chwala mar toba ji si ajun da shiba ji zo ji mar lam kanda ma son na shiba ji zo ji jiwa jin ni chu ji ya ga lam ka de la wan jin de wo thu di ba yin du wo de shin na yang mar ti ka se nyam nin de don den de go den ji to ba yin yu sa me ajun da chwala ga si ajun chwa ram din da don den ajun da mun ju si dhamma ji yin na man thir ba si Oju Randi, Oju Dakona Konsanji Mara, Karasuko Johnson Rawu Chi, Oda Din Ju Guaran Me, Samsam Rachi, Oda Tamachi Yena, Oda Chiwa Kazan, Jutoji Yango Redi, Jutja Konsosan Lama, Nuteyago Chamru, Jutelonga Dantinra Yuva Yendu, Oju Dan Jutojan Me, Sena Oda Dinaga Ramren Tasungu, Marjusan Yodim.
Now, we talked about Dharma, and then of course those who try to transform their minds, those who try to apply this Dharma are called Dharma practitioners. And according to their intelligence and their capacities, we can always make this classification between Dharma practitioners who are supreme, those who have middling capacities, and those who have the least capacities. And it is the Kadampa Lamas of the past who have actually given us the measure by which we can classify these Dharma practitioners. And it says if someone is a supreme practitioner, they actually rejoice at the time of death. They're happy at the time of death. And the reason why they have no fear, they have no regret, but instead they generate joy at the time of death is because they have this supreme confidence in their Dharma practice. They say, I have practiced through all my life. I feel that I have full control. I'm moving into the process of death. I will move into the next rebirth having control over those stages. I'm happy. I'm actually welcoming death. It's another opportunity for practice for me. This will be the supreme training. That will be the type of thought that we're carrying. If we look at a trainee or practitioner of middling capacity, although they might not welcome death with such a joy, at least they would be able to say, I'm dying, but I have no regrets whatsoever. I have practiced enough to have no regret. And when we look at the practitioner of the least capacities, well, this person would be able at the time of death to go for refuge, and by going for refuge they will be able to overcome the incredible fear that is associated with the time of death. So the least that a Dharma practitioner should do at the time of death should be able to say that I am free from fear because I can go for refuge.
Jadi jemu marshivali, cewi tondo, thobar jirwala, kardin dalam, pemba madumna, sindu yang tondo kalan jirur senida, wajuda cewa, wajuda cina se, rida cewa sejadi, cerdang cewa sejadi, sanso kardi kaku tani yena, cewa puruka seji cium biuayu, tadi serpoki de jenah, dah cewa se yang biuayu, yang tiada cila jiraya cikdang. Dan nudin sini nuba dan dimbara sejuga yang jaya cinta yang beriwari. Walaupun tiada guna resi sudu, wajud cibu nuba dan dimbara sejadi cipta kerja go. Jika masuk suatu mian di sini sang beriwari itu, jika masuk jadi mara namshun rau dua rujukan nani. Salah namshun beriwari itu, hajang kemarin jual cipta oleh yang cula mengkrumi.我觉得他的脑力就是没事就得用就是他脑力就得去听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛这听着就有啊嘛 oda nidin se jidi tila jidi wa yendu ta nuwa dan denbo namsho ka sardi jiwa shama shimi shama thaw renbo jika ton dhapa la oda niwa sarni da wote mara tinda chila shiku dini rangi mara jikten yantak la ma sar chiwa dan to chiwa se jidi Nuclear near Togadam, Pandur, Sordigia, Tavasta, Tongu, Yuari,
Now, Amrita was quoting a particular text that was explaining how it is possible on the basis of the human intelligence to accomplish a great aim that will last for many lifetimes. And when we talk about, when we examine the different types of migrations, when we look at sentient beings, definitely we say that each sentient beings has its own capacity, has its own potential. So there is a certain amount of intelligence characterizing every sentient being. But from amongst all these six types of migrators, if we examine the humans, we see that they have the clearest capacity of the mind, they have the clearest potential of the mind, because they have this incredible intelligence. And of course, this intelligence is like an instrument. It can be used in many different ways. If one decides to be successful in a worldly manner, right, one can use one's intelligence to generate a lot of wealth, to generate money, to climb up in and get a nice position in a society, in one's work, and so forth. But there are other ways of using one's intelligence as well. You can use your intelligence in order to practice Dharma. And it is said that if you're skillful with using your intelligence and the potential that exists within this intelligence, you can achieve great things. You can achieve the great aim. And this great aim of happiness is something that lasts not only temporarily in this life, it's something that goes beyond worldly activities. It's something that will last you for the next life and the life after that and in many lifetimes in the future. So that definitely indicates that one needs to, let's say, apply one's intelligence and one's potency to the practice of Dharma. So if you're actually a human with a human intelligence, you're someone who possesses all this incredible potency, and this potency, this capacity has to be used in the best way in order to achieve something meaningful. And when we talk about achieving something meaningful, basically there are two goals. One is to achieve what is called a higher rebirth. Here we talk about a rebirth of a human or a god. In other words, we're talking about avoiding falling into the lower migrations, or to reach what is called the ultimate goal, which is either achieving the state of liberation or achieving the state of omniscience. So it says basically there are these two goals. The first one, you can say it's a temporary goal, the one of attaining a higher rebirth. The second one is the ultimate goal. And unless you're using your intelligence to achieve any of these two goals, then this great opportunity that you have right now, this gift of intelligence, this rebirth is going to waste.
Rango Samjam, she did the Chulandua, tautambu kona thoma thoma chulan ruwa ji mara guwa kar chenpo. Chulan ruwa yena yang waju ri lu chuzan ruwa. Da lu chuzi, lu chugi saksan ruwa yona yang chulam dan ruwa mudu yang niwa yendu niwa di chulam dan ruwa. Oda chulam dan ruwa yona yang tila shetan nanga parchi mambu ji yuwa yendu parchi maya di ton chenpo samsa diwa di yang nengo chenpo ji yendu.
Now, there, when we talk about attaining this great aim, establishing something meaningful with our lives, you know that there are, of course, quite a lot of prayers related to that. But again, if we look at the prayers that are set down by the Kadampa Lamas, it is said, one important prayer says, may my mind turn towards the Dharma. May my Dharma become the path. May the path be free of obstacles. So first of all, we say, may I be able to direct my mind, my consciousness, my intelligence towards the Dharma. This would be my first aim. And then I know that although my mind can turn towards the Dharma, it is not always guaranteed that my practices will become a proper path. So the second aspiration is that although I might turn towards the Dharma, may I always be able to enter and follow this path. And again, we know that when we follow the path, there's always some internal and some external obstacles. So the last request is so that our practice of the path will be free of any of those obstacles. So when we examine this prayer, this aspiration, which explained to us the three great purposes, we can see that the first aim, the first purpose, is to turn the mind towards the Dharma. And in order to do that, we actually need to have certain conditions in place. We need to have an external condition as well as some internal condition. The external condition is to meet with a teacher. Because the teacher can actually give you the advice and direct you towards Dharma. The second, which is an internal condition, has to do with our own practice, with our own mind. And definitely, by relying on the Lam Rim, we need to spend some time contemplating the issue of death and impermanence. Because unless you have a teacher and unless you contemplate death and impermanence, there is no reason why your mind naturally would turn into the Dharma. If you have these two conditions, then of course you are directing the mind towards the Dharma. So you're accomplishing the first great purpose. Now, when we look at the second great purpose, there is some concern that although you might direct the mind towards the Dharma, you might not necessarily enter a proper path. And we know that it is quite possible that somebody is practicing Dharma, but at the same time is thinking that what should be accomplished with those Dharma practices is happiness or well-being for this life alone, or that perhaps maybe this practice of Dharma can be used in order to generate enough virtue so that one can get a good rebirth just for the next life. And these types of thoughts actually are not turning one's Dharma practice into a proper path. Although it is quite important to have the aspiration to attain a good rebirth, we need to understand this within a certain context. We want to have a higher rebirth because this is the proper basis, the best basis for us, physical basis for practicing the Dharma. So we look at it as a means to help us to further our Dharma practice. So really we should be thinking that eventually in the future we should be aiming for reaching liberation. And Rupcha was saying this is the first level of thought. You haven't really entered the path, but you're about to enter the path when you start thinking about liberation. You really enter the path when you start thinking that not only should I reach liberation for myself, but actually I should be thinking about the state of enlightenment that needs to be reached by myself and by others. When you start thinking like that, then your mind has really, your Dharma practice has become a path.
ཁྱི དང ཁྱི དང ཁྱི ཤམ་པ་ཁྱི་གར་སེ་གོ་མོ་ལམ་ནང་ལ་དེ་སོང་ཡོད་རེ་ངན་རུ་ལམ་ནང་དག་ཅིག་ཡོད་ཐུར་ལམ་ནང་རབ་སོང་གཞི་མེ་པར་རང་ཅི་བི་ཤང་ཅི་སམ་ལ་ཆང་ཚ་ལོ་སེ་མར་སོང་ཡོད་རེ་ཨོ་དེ་ཤང་ཅི་སམ་ཤང་ཅི་སམ་སེ་ཅི་དེ་རང་མ་ཡིན་རང་ཅི་བ་ཙམ་མ་ཡིན་པ་རང་ཅི་སམ་ཅན་ཐམ་ཅི་གར་མར་ཀང་གར་ཀང་གར་མེ་པར་སོ་ཡ་དེ་ཀང་གར་གོ་ཤེ་དེ་ yano jinji ji guni ji karisi go kurwan kurya go ji tawa no do do me ba ta bo chera di ji do den zen bi dan zen ma ru ka ti do me ta bo chera di yo san ba yin ba yin du wo den kuru tawa yo chu chu ya go wo da din da go chi chu san bian ji yin ba sa yo ni.
Now, it's very important to look at the point where actually one's practice becomes the path, and Roshi says if you're capable of generating the mind that is seeking for liberation, but a mind which is uncontrived, which is fully qualified, then at this point you can say you have entered the path. And also, when equally when you're able to generate an uncontrived mind that is seeking to reach enlightenment, not only for oneself, but also for others, then definitely you have entered the path. Now, when you start thinking like that, of course, you can see that in this way of thinking, you're generating the mind of bodhicitta, therefore you are engaging in the practices of bodhisattvas. And if we look at one verse that is offering praise to the mind of bodhicitta, we can actually look at three characteristics of bodhicitta. The verse goes like this: I prostrate to the precious mind of bodhicitta, the one that has the power to eliminate the suffering of sentient beings and establish peace and happiness for them, the mind that leads to the path of liberation and enlightenment, the mind that cuts through the root of cyclic existence. So it says bodhicitta actually has these three functions. First of all, bodhicitta is a mind that is concerned with the well-being of sentient beings, and it has the power to work towards establishing this happiness, this well-being, this peace for sentient beings. By practicing bodhicitta, this will bring you to the resultant state, which will be the state of liberation and the state of enlightenment. But also, bodhicitta is the type of mind that has the power to cut through the root of cyclic existence. How is that? Well, it is because bodhicitta, of course, is a mind that is influenced by the wisdom comprehending selflessness. And this wisdom comprehending selflessness is the direct antidote to the ignorance grasping of the self, which is the root of cycling existence as described within the 12 links. So these are the three functions of bodhicitta, and this on the basis of these three, praise is offered to the mind of bodhicitta.
Mm-hmm. 所以我们在这边就是大地有啊研究，嗯，就是研究到，让上级在这个让接了当，研究到让接了，研究上级在那个同行机子就，我在顶这个研究这准备官方当，让接这准备官方投票的，这准备官方投票的，我觉得，嗯，同行哥们儿上里，同行哥们儿他现在弄的第三里地，上里几万个上里研究这准备官方当，让接这准备官方投票的意思，顶这一般研究同行自己的在进步的意思。 第三进步，人体同样理解，同样扩张嘛，同步，将来会积攒着我的，我的，下半段年纪中，我想就积攒的，我的意思没被写了，这就上半年都被写了，积攒不，想就积攒，积累嘛，特别用不的，积累常用啊，这意思呢的，我的这完这完之后，想就积攒了，特别有啊，这意思上用的。
Rashi was also quoting from entering into the middle way, Umala Jupa, where we have a very similar verse. It ends up to be a verse of praise to Bodhicitta. The meaning of the verse is that one recognizes, of course, the preciousness, the importance of Buddhas. And it says it is actually due to the advice of these Buddhas that the hearers and solitary realizers reach the state of an arhat. And this, the attainment of this state of an arhat is indeed, you know, on its own, it's a great attainment. But eventually, you know, if we trace all this back, where does all the root of virtue is originating from? It says this root of virtue always originates from the mind of Bodhicitta, the mind of Bodhicitta that has been generated through the combination of love and compassion, mind of Bodhicitta that has been influenced by wisdom. This particular mind acts as the root generating virtue at all different levels. So everything comes down to this mind. That's the most precious thing.
我觉得，嗯，你的感受啊，把这当我是感受过去了，他们，我觉得，特别全部接纳你，我觉得，嗯，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气，我的，嗯，天气
Right, now going back into our text, the Treatise of the Great Vehicle Sublime Continuum, and just very briefly going through the material that we have covered so far, we have given an explanation of the etymology of the name of the text. We have gone through the preliminary verses where we have the homage of the translator, and following that we have gone through the list of the seven Vajra categories. The first three refers to the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma and Assembly. The fourth one is potential, the fifth one enlightenment, the sixth one qualities, and the seventh one enlightened activity of the Buddha. And as I say, you know, from this point onwards, after they have been initially introduced, we start with a presentation of each one of them in this order.
Lunam 我就给他提，都是你的地区，我的那等于，嗯，嗯，他听着知道，我的等就感觉越南多的那都是越南那等得到高些，他这个越南这个都是你的目的，我讲，他第二呢，他第二都讲到讲个上月的时候呢，得到个让钱，你几斤的吧，个人节节上几节分都，连接里呢，你什，这些的越南越南越南路点节就一万里一些，我在就是个基本的嘛，我在上月也对，我等的，罗布森继续问。
Alright, so Ramsha was actually reading the actual verses of the root text, where we start first of all with the nature of the seven Vajra categories. It says Buddha, Dharma, assembly, potential, enlightenment, qualities, and the enlightened activity of Buddha. The last four are the causes of the first three. Then teaching them to be seven in number, it says the entire body of this treatise, in brief, is condensed in these seven Vajra categories. And following that, we have an explanation of how the seven Vajra-like categories are taught in Sutra. It says these are taught in accordance with the order of the relation of specific characteristics in the Sutra requested by King Ishvara. It is cognized that three categories are taught in the introduction. The four remaining are taught in the classification of intelligent bodhisattvas and the dharmas of the conquerors. Now, so first of all, you see here where it says how those the seven Vajra-like categories are taught in Sutra. It says that they are presented in according to the characteristics of the Sutra requested by King Ishvara. And by making this statement, the point is established that all this material is not actually something that was fabricated by the protector Maitreya, but rather it was based on teachings that the Buddha himself had given in this occasion, teachings that were requested by King Ishvara. So this is not a material that was newly fabricated. And then following that, it says that from what we know, the first three categories were taught in the introduction of that particular sutra that was requested by King Ishvara. So this is actually the basis, the origin of this material. Right, so as I say, the first three subjects are presented in the introduction, and then it says the four remaining are taught in the classifications of intelligent bodhisattvas and the dharmas of the conquerors. So the four remaining is potential enlightenment qualities and enlightened activity. Now, number four, which is potential, as we mentioned yesterday, potential can be presented in three different contexts, right? Three different times. The context of the pure, the context of the partially pure, and the context of the totally pure. When we talk about the context of the impure, we're talking about practitioners who are still at the level of the path of accumulation and the path of preparation. When we talk about partially pure, we talk about potential that exists from the seventh, from the first to the seventh ground. And when we talk about the totally pure, we talk about potential that exists from the eighth ground onwards. So as you can see, there's actually this presentation in three different occasions, different times, and as we move from the impure to the totally pure, we move through this process of gradually purification and removal of stains from the mind. To give you an idea, we've got to a point where it says, you know, this, the four remaining are taught in the classifications of intelligent bodhisattvas, right? Because we talk about purifying the mind and removing stains from the mind. And in order to do the purification, you actually need to have a purifying agent, right? You need to have some practices. So these are the practices, the classifications of practices of intelligent bodhisattvas. And there is a total of 60 of those. Now, there is a particular part in the text that those are, you know, not all 60 of them, but they are, you know, some groups of those are enumerated. But unless you have the same edition of the commentary, you'd be lost. If you have the edition of Drupal Lhasa Ling, they're actually first mentioned on page 16, and later on they are briefly presented on page 32. If you, nevertheless, if you have the page form, it would definitely be in a different different page.
So
we will try to enumerate some of them, starting, let's say, with a gross classification, and then we can look at some.
Or did that in a young boy and do that? That you go, do you need number? Need you come to your job when you're a boy or that Jamadan, you send the or that Jonesia, Jamadi, my Jonesia, that number to you was somewhere that to you with this, do you want that? Tambo, my Jen number, Shanju, Semper, Jen number, yes, the G. What that, my Jen Chagas on the Shanju Semper, Zero Ship, Jen number, yes, the G. 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 Yes, the da je ten ji je number je no number ji si no da de ni ji
Alright, so we're giving a brief list in the beginning. First of all, we have the four ornaments. Okay. Then we have the eight appearances. Yes, four ornaments and eight appearances. Right, the second one actually, it's not appearance, I think it's better translated as illumination, so the eight illuminations, because they are ways of illuminating and dispelling the darkness of ignorance. And finally we have a group of 16, and those 16 are aspects of great compassion.
Ori da dini da tin thoni dini zon dan dan di samje so sum go ok da oni yar si wo tin den sum da jwa go no dan a ji give chula jo we sangju sam bo li nam ba samje tan yi si wo da sangju sam bo ji da na kan de wo mon da samje so ni ji yo din ni.
Yeah. And finally, we have a big group that includes 32 aspects, 32 physical aspects of bodhisattvas.
Noa number re da zon re jin number yesi ji di jitu gon la ji jam ni ji tambai re wa ni ji tambai ji tani da kan se go re ni ji tambai ji tani noa number ji wa re wa ji bo di gon la ak go sam ji so ni ge na ni ni ne ne da
sib ju sib ju tambai
ji ji tambai re wa
We were actually doing the math, the counting up to make sure we end up with a list of 60. So it's the four ornaments, the eight illuminations, the 16 aspects of great compassion, and the 32 physical aspects of bodhisattvas. If you put 4 plus 16, you have 20. If you put 32 plus 8, you have 40. And then 20 plus 40 easily makes 60. We haven't missed anything. So bad.
Oji da dina yimba yindi dum da wo jayona da awna shangju sambo li namba samji tanyi samji sunyi ji da tangna ji zi simgwe kundi longni samji ji kwanwa rongwa zina da kangar shetakwa dingar shetakwa riri la mungna Ninji Rumadavasana,
Now, Rinpoche was actually starting now from the bottom going up. So the last category we mentioned was this group of 32 physical aspects of the bodhisattvas. And then prior to that, we had the 16 aspects of great compassion. And it's interesting to look at those 16 aspects of great compassion, because although we talk about compassion in general, of course the bodhisattvas have to focus on different types of suffering. So this is great compassion that is generated by focusing, of course, always on sentient beings, but on sentient beings who are experiencing different types, different categories of suffering. This is how the training goes. Now, before that, we have mentioned the group of the 8 types of illumination. Again, Rinpoche said is some sort of, you know, it's their knowledge, it's their understanding that's illuminating and dispelling darkness of ignorance. And then prior to that, we had 4 qualities that are similar to, let's say, ornaments to those bodhisattvas. So through a practice and through training of those 60 different aspects, they can actually purify their mind. Arthur is saying here, we mentioned about these 6 different aspects of the training of the bodhisattvas. And it is very important to understand that although sentient beings possess the heart of the Tathagata, they possess this potential within themselves, still this potential needs to be refined. And there is an analogy that is made, and it says it's very much like receiving a gem. And it says, let's say that you receive something really, first of all, you know, it could be that you have the wish to have something precious, but you don't necessarily get it. And the analogy here is like how fortunate you would be if one day you happen to walk by the sea, and from the ocean, you know, the waves would carry out to your feet this precious stone. You know, how fortunate it would be if you were to find something like this. But as we know, with precious gems, usually when you first discover them, they are not in the most refined condition. So usually they are encrusted with different other materials. There are some impurities around them. And gradually one has to go through a process of purification. The first stage, of course, would be to take out these gross materials that are covering the precious substance. And after you take that, then you can have a good look at this gem that you have. And you realize that it's rough and it's not really shiny. So what you do is you start smoothening the surface. So you start rubbing with something. And after you make it smooth, you need to polish it, because the more you polish it, the more you refine it, then you can see the color and the shine of the gem coming out. So it is said that similar to having to go through these stages of the process of refining and polishing and really cleaning any precious substance that you find, in a similar way, although you might understand that you have this potential within your mind, you need to develop that. And it is for that reason that you need to undergo thorough training. And this thorough training is through those 60 aspects of the training of the Bodhisattva.